Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here to talk about tonight's eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 9. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am joined here tonight by Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
I'm just here to say one thing and one thing only, and that's glossy posse, baby!
Kirsten, an honorary member of the glossy posse. Also with us tonight is Aman. How you doing, Aman?
Big Brother Canada 9, baby. Just keeps giving until it's not going to be done giving. Like, just pendulum swinging and swinging this way and swinging that way. And I'm just all here just eating it up. I'm so excited to be here tonight. So excited.
Yes. This is how you end a Big Brother Canada 9 episode. You give us this HOH results, which it's got us buzzed, and to be able to watch it live and see it happen, this is exciting. This is exciting time. Exciting times here.
They literally gave us the veto ceremony and the HOH in one episode.
Yeah.
What did we do to deserve this?
It was a double stuffed episode. The Oreo of Big Brother Canada 9 episodes, definitely.
Yes. I think especially because, like, you know, if you're going to give us OLG bingo, also give us the HOH competition, and I won't complain about OLG bingo.
I'm still really concerned about Brayden's clothes from that hot tub dip. Like, he has nice things. I'm really worried.
He's wearing a sweater.
And, like, Brayden does not buy inexpensive things. Like, that sweater was at least $150, I would guess, based on how that boy shops. It probably sat in his online shopping cart for like months before he bought it. I hope it's okay. I'm really worried.
I mean, he dipped in. I thought when they said hot tub dip, I thought I meant like dip your toe, dip your foot, you know, just a little something, something. But no, he went all the way in there.
He did what needed to be done.
We know it's cold in that house too. And he still lost. And then they put him in a freaking box. Yeah. Oh, wow. That was, yeah.
He, like, he was, well, ultimately. You don't have any clothes anymore. So put on a bingo ball.
But I will say that no day of my life in the last year has started better than yesterday when I woke up and saw Brayden dressed up as a bingo ball at 8 a.m.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. Well, let's talk about this episode. Let's talk about what we saw here, because there wasn't a ton of strategy going on this week post veto ceremony. So it actually did work out pretty well that we get the veto ceremony to start the episode. I do feel like they lost the momentum that they had coming into the episode from last night, when it felt very dramatic, but this wasn't exactly a dramatic veto ceremony to begin with. It was a very fake sort of build up that he might use the veto, because he was never going to, after Vic said that she was going to put up Ty. So I didn't mind it too much here. And, you know, ultimately what we do see is that he's not going to use the veto. And that's just the way it goes, Aman.
Yeah, I mean, Vic's strategy worked. I mean, she made it seem like Ty would be the one that would go up, or Beth, and that was enough for them. They just didn't want to risk Ty going home. So, I mean, it was a great play by Vic. I wish that it hadn't worked, but it did work, and, you know, now here we are. But then again, if it hadn't worked, then maybe we wouldn't have gotten the result that we got tonight. So, you know, all things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, she held them hostage, you know, like, she did what she, like, not what she had to do, because she didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
But she did what she wanted to do. Okay.
She did what she had to do and then kept going.
Yeah. Right? That's, she really laid it on Vic, and then after not using the veto to then go and tell them that that was never going to be the case, where Ty was going to go up on the block, was just a lot. But I mean, this is like the type of bold gameplay that we have been wanting players to have when entering the Big Brother house. So in that respect, I understand why there are so many people out there that are just going up for Vic, because she is messy, but she's playing and she has clear targets. She knows what she wants, and she's going to go at all lengths to get it. And sometimes those lengths are pretty long. But I mean, hey, if the end result is LaToya leaving the house, then she's going to do it. And I got to give her credit for at least that.
Now, here's my question about Victoria, okay? Is she creating a target so big that it disappears? Is that possible?
That's what I'm starting to think. I'm like, is this like, so it's going so far to the left that it pops out at the right again? You know what I mean? Like, because she's been doing a lot of stuff that you really shouldn't be able to get away with. But at the same time, she was HOH. She was not like they could just like put her up right then and there. So I don't know. Time will tell if this week is, you know, something that she can come back from. I'm starting to be along the lines of yes, maybe, because the way that the other players are set up in this house, it looks like they're not really too bothered by her, which I would be. So I don't know. It's really
well. Let me tell you, we'll get into this more when we talk about the ramifications of a key for HOH, but I think this was the single best outcome for Victoria this week, as long as she survives the week, which mm-hmm. she should be set up to do, because Kiefer, as of right now, has no intention of targeting Victoria this week. And he is the only person of the Sunsetters remaining that wouldn't have. Ty, Jed, and Beth all would have been targeting Victoria this week. And if Victoria's side had won, they would have been targeting Ty and Jed, and that would have meant that Victoria stays in this oddball alliance where she is not in a good spot. However, Kiefer being the one person outside of her alliance that wins this and will probably be taking a shot at her alliance is actually best case scenario for Vic, because now her alliance gets to reshape and she could probably get in a better position within it. Once it does. Now, mm-hmm. What does she do with that is a whole other question, but yeah.
I'm not quite ready to say it. Victoria Giesling?
I mean, she did say best to ever play the game after she told Ty and Jed that she'd put Ty on the block. So,
I mean, sometimes your delusion can not only convince yourself, but it convinces others. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, we'll that's see. How you tell the best lies. You have to convince yourself first,
not
right?
And
so if she's buying in, then it's very believable to everyone. Yeah,
you know what? That's a really good point. I definitely feel like Vic is one of those people that can like she would pass a lie detector test if the proctor was like, the sky is green. She's like, yes. And there's like no different pattern in her heart pattern. Like it's like she will convince herself of anything. That's a really good point.
You know, it feels like it's very obvious when she's lying, but then when she's telling the truth, it also feels like she's lying. And maybe that's why it can be difficult to tell when she's lying. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just Ty and Jed who can't seem to tell when anyone's lying. Unfortunately,
yeah, exactly. It's like you never really know. Like it's. I mean, from the very top of her HOAs, it's been, I'm telling somebody this, but this is really the target. And then she goes to the next person. I'm telling them this person, but it's really this person. And then it's just all over the place. You never really know with her. So I don't know. I think that might actually work for her. I really do.
Yeah. And let me tell you guys, for those that have not been keeping up with the feeds or maybe just you hadn't looked today, all week long, Victoria and the Oddballs have been setting up this blind side of Toya. And just a few hours mm-hmm. before the feeds cut for the live show, Victoria's plan is to blame everything on Beth and to really call Beth out and say that Beth is the reason they flipped the vote, because Beth was convincing them that Toya needed to go. And so She accidentally got a head start on this by telling Ty and Jed that Beth has been campaigning for Toya to go. And they're like, wait, what? Is there a flip happening? And she was like, well, I just know that Beth has been doing some things, so I don't. And she almost ruined the blind side. Lucky for her. After this, Jed goes to Brayden and he's like, hey, Brayden, is this happening? And Brayden's like, no.
No, Brayden goes, mm-hmm. no. That's how Brayden talks. And like, he's not putting it on for TV. That's how he communicates. He's just,
Yeah. And then Ty and Jed, and I get it. You gotta look good for the live show. But they spent so much time after learning that there might be a flip just hanging out in the bathroom getting ready. Look,
Taryn, when it comes to that shape up, you gotta make sure that those edges are laid. It's gotta look clean, or else you cannot be on national television looking like Teen Wolf, even if your ride or die is about to go home. Like, it's, you just gotta check that out first, and then once that's complete, then we can go ahead and worry about LT. But until then, his hair's gotta be laid.
I mean, but unfortunately, by the looks of it, I don't think they ever really investigated here. Maybe we'll see more. I don't know.
Go ahead, Kirsten.
I feel like Ty and Jed are like literally himbos in the best way. I love watching them, but they're just like a little dopey. They're not stupid, but they're like a little dopey, and that's what makes them so lovable. But I just wish that they were like 10% less himbo so that they could have done some investigating there.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, maybe we can just save, you know what, never mind. I'll save this to when we get to that part of the episode. Never mind.
Okay.
Well, I feel like we have so much energy right now. All of us are like, yes, yes, yes.
This is what happens when we get an HOH result.
I know, I'm just so excited.
So we saw the veto was not used. We then see that we get to the segment where Victoria is going to overhear the Sunsetters talking about her. This sort of points toward, I think, Kirsten's point where, Ty sort of notices that she overheard, and he's like, do you think she heard us? And she goes, yeah. And he's like, yeah, what? Oh, I was just saying yeah to them. Let me tell you guys, after this happened, he was talking to Toya, and he was like, yeah, no, it was a weird coincidence that she said yeah at that time. Luckily, she didn't.
Oh, it's so definitely cute. Like, it's just so adorable. Like, you just want to be like, oh, sweetie, it's okay.
I mean, he definitely like got caught at the bathroom with his pants down. Like, it was just not a good look for him at all. And it's like, well, for Victoria, for me, because she is going to go back upstairs and then be really, really upset. And then she's going to vent to Kyle about the situation. I'm like, what did you expect?
Yeah.
What did you expect, Victoria? You have been lying to them all week. You know you want LaToya out of here. And so now you're upset that they don't trust you when you're not being trustworthy with them. You won't tell them what the tea is. And so now that they're over there talking about, you're not making it to jury, we want you up out of here next week. You're pouting about it. Did you really think that once LaToya was out of the house that you were going to take her spot? That's not how this works.
Well, they wanted to save her. She's going to blame Beth. She's going to blame Beth, and it's going to be fine. But actually, though, I just feel like, talk all the shit you need to talk in the BB Can House. Do what you need to do. But you cannot be doing it in the middle of the largest open space. You need to be doing it. Have a back, like a wall to your back, so you can at least see where everybody is and, you know, in connection to you. You can't just be like, okay, I'm in the middle of the house. Everything is fine and safe. I know where everybody is. Let me say whatever I want. You need to at least know what's going on around you.
You're so right. And I sympathize with them so much because I tend to be one of those people that likes to hide in plain sight in conversation. So if I'm talking about one of my coworkers that's literally maybe 3 yards away, I will definitely do one of these things where it's like, you know, I won't go all the way quiet, but I'm not going to whisper, but I'll definitely keep talking. It's like, there's no way this person over there is actually listening to the conversation that's happening so nonchalantly a couple of yards away. Like, I do that all the time. So I probably would have had the same mindset. She wasn't listening. Like, we're over here at the table. She's off in her own little world. But then maybe this is just the case for why I'd lose Big Brother. So I don't know.
Come on, I have to tell you something. As someone who works in an open office environment, they're listening. They are 100% listening. They know that you said that. They know.
Can you believe he does that, Kirsten? It's unbelievable. I know. It's
like, it's like really uncomfortable. Seriously. That a mom would say he did that. Like,
it's just like, God, obviously we can hear you.
What was that?
I think we should vote him out just, next week.
I was just saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. All right. Well, we're hanging out later tonight, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, good.
So this was a bit of a mess here. We're then going to get into OLG Bingo. They're playing bingo, guys. Arissa's telling us about bingo. Did you know they're playing bingo?
I have a question for the two of you, because obviously I'm Canadian. I'm familiar with the Canadian scratch ticket.
The answer is probably no, then.
Is there a bingo, like, scratcher ticket in America?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because
I think they definitely because
there's like crossword is like a big one too, but which fits in obviously with the veto. But the bingo one, you scratch and you get the numbers, and then you do your bingo boards, and then you win money.
I assume so.
There's definitely some stuff like that here, but I think that it differentiates a bit more because there some of them are run by state. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's the same everywhere you go, but I'm pretty sure that I've seen like some bingo scratch offs before. Yeah.
Yeah, because the way it works here is each province does their like gambling stuff individually, but they're all like this mostly the same OLG scratch like cards.
The big one.
No, OLG is Ontario. It's just Ontario. Like when they had the Big Brother scratch tickets, those were only available in Ontario. So nobody else can do the BB can scratchers.
So this is this as a sponsor of Big Brother Canada doesn't apply to anybody outside of Ontario.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird.
But like the same thing though, is it's like BC is like the BCALG, and then there's like the WCLG for Alberta. So like they're all like kind of related, but it's like a province separated thing. Yeah, Lotto Max is nationwide, but like it's not only OLG. It's just like 649 is nationwide, but it's not all OLG. People need to know about their gambling, okay? That's why I'm here.
In any case, I got to stay away from them scratch offs because I have an addictive personality and
yes!
I might scratch until I can't scratch anymore. That's I might be scratching the bottom of the barrel.
Come on, I'll buy one $5 scratch ticket and then I'll win like $10 and buy two more $5 scratch tickets with it. And I'll just go like, till the money's gone.
Next thing you know, you're scratching the bottom of your pockets like, ooh, how'd this happen? Yeah, yes. I can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah, you know, I feel like they really are going in on the scratching aspect of it. Like, I guess that's the point of the...
Because it's fun!
See, that's what I'm saying. I feel like they're showing the scratching stuff so much. Yeah. There must be a psychological trigger there that they're playing on, right?
Just think, Taryn, did you never enjoy a scratch and sniff sticker as a child?
I hated all the scratching stuff. No, I don't want to scratch something.
Oh, what? It's always so
it gets, okay. First of all, when you do the scratchy stuff
the coin.
No, because then it gets it, there's like you get little debris afterward.
Yeah, and you clean it up.
And then it's okay. Now I've got to keep it all nice and like make sure it doesn't fall on anywhere.
No,
make sure it stays nice.
How far
clean
are you traveling to the garbage can?
No, you just blow it. It's
no,
small.
You're
just
going to
blow
it
everywhere.
You can't just blow the debris. Come on.
I do. Look, see, this is why I can't. Obviously, this is why I shouldn't be buying scratch offs because clearly.
Amon wakes up after a night of scratching scratch tickets with like the debris all over one side of his face. He's like fallen into it.
Amon's just going to walk up and be scratching. Get that debris out of my face.
See, I feel like Taryn, like you're a robot. Shouldn't you have like some sort of filter to keep the debris away from you? Like, I feel like you'd be fine.
Yeah, the filter is not doing the scratching. That's the filter.
Well, congratulations on being a perfect person, Taryn. Some of us like to gamble.
Oh man. Well, so the bingo is that for every bingo ball they're going to get, they need to do a challenge. The first one we see is Beth trying to do her ABCs backwards. Can you guys do this?
I had to do it one time. I didn't have to do it one time. Someone like asked me if I could do it one time when I was waiting in line to go into a bar, and I did it fine and I was intoxicated. So I think I could do it if need be. I know Matt Ligori can do it, so he could have done that instantly.
I think Amon is doing it right now.
And I only got
failing
the X, so no, I can't do it.
I feel like I could do it, but I would have to think about it as I went like Beth was doing.
You have to think while you're doing it for sure. But like Matt Ligori just knows it.
Just like
he could just do it.
Yeah. It's I feel like the reactions that Beth was getting like put the pressure on and then she crumbled.
Right.
I can also
if there's a time limit, I'm definitely not going to be able to do it. Like, my door only swings one way when it comes to the alphabet. I can't do it the other way. Sorry.
It's a push, not a pull.
I do also, someone brought up in the chat that Beth said Z rather than Z. Yeah, Beth is from Alberta. They want to be America so bad, okay?
Oh, I forgot you guys say Z up there sometimes. Oh.
Like, no, the Z is the right way to do it, but Alberta wants to be Texas.
Gotcha. I like Zed. I've been
Zed is a nicer sounding.
It sounds so much cooler. Yeah.
The only argument I could understand for Z is like it rhymes with so many other letters already, whereas Zed is just different. But then you could be like, but Zed is the ending, so of course it's a little different. Like the end, Zed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Zed.
W is also a very strange letter. So it's like,
especially because it looks like a double V, right. But it's W.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're all over the place here.
Yeah, anyways, I'm really sorry in advance to anyone who's listening to this later. I don't think it's going to get any more focused.
So we get Tara is going to tell us what a wild party this was, guys. They were doing all kinds of crazy stuff, like putting eggs over their heads. And she was even on all fours rolling a potato across the floor. Oh man, things got wild. Big Brother is losing their minds. You've been to a third grade birthday party, yeah. I guess.
That was one of the strangest diary rooms I think I've ever seen. The one thing I do want to cue up here is Brayden proposed to Beth and then they kissed, and I was sitting here like, get a job, stay away from him, go away, how dare you, Beth.
You don't want him to join the fourple?
Yeah, that's like what, three out of much. Eight that's guys?
What do you call a four-person thruple?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say on the podcast.
I mean, it wouldn't be a foursome, right? Because you don't call it a threesome. It's a thruple.
I mean, actually, you do call it a threesome.
But specifically, we're going for thruple, quadruple.
I think once you quadruple three, I think it's just polyamory.
Someone said four mans, which I do really like.
All right. Well, maybe someday Brayden can get in on that, but no, not if Kirsten has anything to say about it.
Unacceptable to me.
The best one here was definitely, I think, and best is a weird way to describe it, but Kiefer dunking into
I thought it was just gonna be regular, you know,
just ice cream.
That was the soupy kind.
It was
they
melted.
Had that ice cream sitting out. Yeah.
It's really soupy.
That was, and I am not exaggerating, the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Because you know it just sunk into all the crevices.
You know, like, I feel like his pants will never be clean. Like, they're going to smell a little weird forever, no matter how many times he washes them.
It's just ice cream, though. You can just eat it right off.
Ew, no, Taryn. I'm sorry. You're opposed to the debris from scratch tickets, but you're going to eat Kiefer's pant ice cream?
All right. Well,
come on.
Isn't ice cream great? That's what people tell me all the time, that it's so good.
Now I'm really questioning the eating habits of Taryn with that yogurt as well, because like, if you're willing to just
how long do you leak your yogurt out before you eat it, Taryn? Do you ever sit in the yogurt first?
Mr. Roybot in the chat says at least it wasn't chocolate.
That's true. I mean, both were bad.
You could tell how much he really didn't want to do it either. He was like, really? Like,
the way that it just goops out.
And then he like stood over it to shake it off. I'm like, no, that's not the strategy there. You're just gonna have to take them clothes off.
He needed to do it how Brayden did the hot tub dip. Just get in, get out, be done with it. Not like slowly ride. Like, do you think it like the bucket like suctioned onto him?
Yes,
like,
I think that's exactly what happened.
I don't think that he would be able to get out, I guess.
There was a squelching sound. It was like,
okay, that was a fake sound effect. I don't think that was real. Do you think that was real?
I think it was enhanced. Let's put it that way.
I hope it was real.
I I hope it was not real. Why would you look for that?
Do you think he went down and then was like, you know what? It's kind of nice. It's kind of chilly. Nice.
I mean, do not think that he went
when ice cream is that soupy, nice. It's like it's lukewarm at that point. Like
it, like it was melted.
Yeah, that was real cream. There was no ice at all. It was just cream. Like
it honestly could have been just milk at that point. Like it's,
don't talk about milk. It's Emmett will start getting upset.
Well, he wouldn't get upset on the first glass of milk, okay?
If he had to drink that whole bucket?
Well, the whole bucket, yeah, but the first glass of milk, he's excited about a tall glass of milk. Second glass of milk, excited about a tall glass of milk. I feel like it's like four glasses of milk in before he starts puking.
Grab a tall glass of milk, Canada.
Not after this episode. They ruined milk for all of Canada, I think. And the Canadian dairy farmers are like very committed to advertising. They won't be happy about this.
Keith was on the winning team, right? Like he has to endure that for
that.
Okay, good.
That was the winning challenge was the ice cream dunk. And
that's right. Yep,
they got the pizza party and they chose Brayden to wear the bingo ball. Which, in 10 minutes, Arissa's gonna be like, all right, Brayden, your punishment is finally over. Like we just saw him put this on.
Yeah, they really didn't give us much of Brayden the bingo ball, which is so disappointing because, again, it was one of the best things I've ever seen in my entire life. Just like him in the ball pit. In the bingo ball. It's art. Like it's art. What could you want more than that?
I don't know.
And I just know, like when he said literally a nightmare, like he means it.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Brayden in the bingo ball in the ball pit, I think is definitely one of the more memorable images that we'll have from the season. Yeah.
For the whole season.
Definitely. You wore it well.
I'm going to get it tattooed on my lower back so that next time I see him, I can be like, look at this.
All right. So we're going to hear from Toya that she's on the block and that means that she needs to campaign. So she's going to go and check in with every single person. She's going to make sure that she pleads her case. And we see about as much as she actually campaigned on the feeds, which is that she went to Austin and she was like, you want to keep me? I think it would be good if you did. And then Austin was like,
I really your little thing.
Great pitch.
That was such a weird thing.
You're so poised. Like, it was so awkward.
Well, but that's how Austin is. I find that she is like just super awkward. There's a reason why she's not connecting quite as well as Brayden is, even though they're their little duo together.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was a very weird thing to say. It was like, I mean, if I were Toya, I would immediately know that this girl is not willing to save me. Because who says that? You don't compliment somebody on their pitch. You just say, gotcha, girl. Not voting to evict you. You're good with me. Go campaign for the rest of those votes. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, yes. That was inspiring. That was riveting. Like, I'm not writing a New York Times review on your pitch. I'm just telling you that you have my vote. It was just very strange to me.
What I loved though was that LaToya literally is like, what does that mean? Because it's like LaToya is so logic based that when something is so absurd like that, she's like, I don't understand. Like, what are you talking about? What does that mean?
She should have known.
It's really funny actually, because both her and Kiefer are really funny in this regard. When the Sunsetters are joking around, Toya and Kiefer both are people that will like interrupt the joke to ask what the joke is. Like they are not people that will just laugh and go along with it. Like when Kirsten says whatever she said about Ty and I don't know and understand what it is. And I'm just like, yeah, ha, funny.
Wait, Lita hasn't told you what himbos are yet.
She probably has, but how am I supposed to remember? Like,
oh my God.
But like they will interrupt. They'll be like, wait, what do you mean by that? And then they'll explain the joke. Okay.
Completely takes the air out of it. Yep.
Yeah.
But it's also just so compelling. Like I found Toya to be so compelling to watch because we don't often get to see someone who is like so, so logic focused, who thinks, okay, yes, this is a job. Here is my proposal. You can consider it. Goodbye. I know you'll do the right thing because I assume everyone else is also thinking completely logically. And I just found that very interesting to watch. So I feel like the game did open up, is like open here, but and at what cost?
Yeah, and I think that's a big reason as to why LaToya is so interesting to watch. And also because she has those moments where she's logic based, but then she also has those moments where her humanity opens up and we get to see her, you know, behave a little bit more socially, especially when it comes to Jed and Ty. You know, be honest with herself when she's not feeling somebody. Like if she doesn't like you, she will let you know straight up. Like, and that was very, very refreshing to see. And yes, it doesn't always make for the best game player, but it's just like, damn, like for this dynamic house, I want to see you stay here. And I want to see somebody like you progress through this game a bit more, especially because I just felt like the way that she was put up in the first place, really, I'm still questioning the move from Vic. I still really am. I know that like now looking back was probably the best move for Vic to make, but at the beginning, it still didn't seem quite good because I don't think that she was really going to come for Vic. Like I just don't think that she really was. I think she was more focused on Kyle and Roe, but
yeah,
that's what it is.
Well, and the other thing too, though, that really struck me about LaToya, especially in this episode, is she always talks, and it's like what they talked about on Monday, how she always talks about how she's not going to kiss ass and she's going to keep it real 100%. And that's something that's like a little bit of a pet peeve to me, is when people are like, I'm going to keep it real. And that's just their excuse to not participate in the experience that they're in. They're like, I'm keeping it real. And that's why I don't have to conform to the social norms of wherever we're at. And like, yeah, in the Big Brother house, the social norm is like lying to people and pretending you like them, which is not exactly admirable. But I wonder how much it extends into like the real world. Like I haven't seen it from LaToya specifically, but I know some people will be like, I just keep it real. And then they use that as an excuse to be like a giant asshole. I don't think LaToya is that way, but it just like reminded me of those kinds of people. Yeah. And I was like, ugh, I don't like that.
I feel like like people that say keeping it real or like people are being fake, I feel like those are sort of like ways to say that you don't like being polite and you don't like people that are polite. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I shouldn't have to be polite.
Exactly. Like, oh, they're being polite? How fake of them. How gross. I'm not fake. I keep it real. I'm mean to people.
It's like, I can be mean and have the moral high ground if I just say I'm keeping it real. It's like, ugh, don't like it.
Yeah. I wish that she would have campaigned more. I also found it really annoying that she would repeatedly say, yeah, I'm not going to kiss ass, whatever. But, I mean, you really have to. And it wasn't even like, because I know that there's a case to be made for the game Big Brother where a lot of the times, I mean, the reason why we love this season so much is because like it's so dynamic and so many people are, you know, the power is shifting. But there are those weeks where it's just a foregone conclusion. This person wins HOH. These two people go on the block. That person is the one to go home. It's straight to the point. It's very like there's no room for any kind of gameplay. So we've seen that before. So if Victoria weren't a recruit, I would kind of understand that ideology more because you're like, I already know that she wants me out. I don't even feel like I know. I just go defeated. I don't want to campaign because I know how this game goes. But she's not even that big of a fan of the show, which is fine. I'm not bashing her for that. But at the same time, it's like, well, girl, like, why not? Like,
well,
just say something. Just go to Victoria and say, look, I'm sorry if I made you feel a certain way about not wanting you to be in this alliance. I apologize for that. I need you to know that I was never going to target you. I was really going after the boys, like, and say, and go to Tina and Tara because Victoria doesn't even have a vote. Just say, like, look, Toya, like, it's me and you. Like, we have such a good bond. I don't want to say goodbye to you. Pull on those heartstrings. I really want to continue to play this game with you. I know that it might be a little bit of a rocky road, but I'm a target. I'm a target. You're still going to be fine. If you keep me, you're going to be okay. Like, I don't know why she didn't go around and do any of that, because it just, you're not kissing Tina's ass. Like, you don't have to kiss Tina's ass. You should just expect her vote. and yeah. go campaign for it.
Yeah, like, well, and that's what's so frustrating is she has the skills. Like, LaToya is super capable exactly. and absolutely can convince people. So that's why it hurts, like, a little bit more when she doesn't use those skills.
And we have seen a pretty significant shift in Tina this week compared to the week before, where she's been playing a lot more passively. She has been much more reserved. And it's only occasionally that we've seen her kind of come out of her shell this week, which is such a contrast to the week before, where she was very social. She was talking to people all the time. And it's kind of been like, where is the Tina that we kind of saw the week before? And I think something that she's mentioned on the feeds is that she's been having a lot of emotional turmoil over this whole situation with Toya. And we get more confirmation of it here in the episode. She tells us, I'm in the middle. This is hard. Like, she was genuinely friends with Toya. And mm-hmm. Toya, I know that from Toya's perspective, it feels like Tina just bailed on her when the going got rough. But from Tina's mm-hmm. perspective, Toya just stopped talking to her. And just stopped. It seemed like Toya just went in with the mm-hmm. boys and gave up on Tina so fast. And so these are two people who want to connect again, I think. But both of them seem to, I don't know, maybe be too proud, or maybe it's like too awkward, or whatever it is, but they just couldn't come back together.
She said something, I forget who she was talking to. I think she was talking to her alliance as a whole at the beginning, like when she got nominated. She was like, you know what? Like, I'm not about to come out here and ruin any of your games. Like, if it's a better game move for you to get rid of me, I understand it. Like, I think that I'm the best game move for all of you to continue on. But like, I don't want anybody to ruin their games for me. And I'm not about to go ruin anybody else's game. So it felt like you laid the groundwork for people to stray, especially Tina. And I just feel like you never want to do that. Like, sure, like you don't want to like put so much pressure on people that it causes them to break. But at the same time, like you are an alliance. You should expect certain things from certain players, and you should be putting the pressure on them whenever you can to make sure that you're going to stay in the house. And I just feel like she wasn't willing to do any of that. And I don't know why Jed and the fact that Kiefer was playing dead probably placated her even more, because she felt like she didn't have to campaign as hard because he was going to leave. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know that you want Kyle and Will out of here. You know that that's a good move for you and your alliance. You should be campaigning that to them as much as possible. And she just didn't do it. She didn't do it.
Yeah.
And like, so with the Tina of it all too, I like, totally understandable that being in the middle is a very difficult position to play well. But I think even then, she would be better served being a little bit more of like a Tyler, where it's like both sides like think that they're with you're with them, and you are with one of them more than the other, but you're still in good with the other group, is like the preferable place to be, because you still do have like, okay, this is my alliance and this is my where I will go. But you always have the backup of like, well, these other people are still with me too, so I'm not going to be their first target on this side. Whereas being like straight middle, it is hard. Like, it's desirable, but it's hard.
I think it feels to me like it's possible that we will see a shift in Tina moving forward now that Toya is gone. I do think it's possible that the thing that has really been holding her back from playing in the way that we kind of saw her playing in the first week of the feeds, at least, was that she felt so much turmoil about the Toya situation. That's something that I'm going to be looking for. I don't know that I expect it, but I think it's possible that we may see Tina bounce back a little bit here.
Yeah. So do we think that this is a situation where she goes through with this, LaToya goes home, and then Tina's like, yes, now I'm really in this game and I'm playing hard? Or do you think it'll be like, oh, I feel really bad that I did that, and she can't recover as much? Because I think it could easily go either way.
Yeah.
Tyler's a great example of it going either way, right? Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of shocked that she didn't at least give Toya the vote, because she knew where the votes were going to land. She knew Tara wasn't going to give her it. So I was kind of shocked that she just didn't say, look, guys, like, I'm just going to vote for Toya to stay because she's a friend of mine. And I want to give her the vote on the way out. But I know that I'm with you guys. I was kind of shocked that she didn't do that. So she should, that just in case something happens, she's able to say to them, I told you what I was going to do. You can't be mad. And tell Jed and Ty, I voted for Toya to stay. I don't know what happened. but she kind of just went all the way over to the Oddballs. I mean, she has to know that, like, they formed before you got there, sis. So you're obviously not at anywhere near the top. So I would have to imagine that with Keith as HOH, she's going to have to be like, all right, Keith, so what do you think? What are we doing? I don't expect her to come out and bloom out, because I think that she's really focused right now. She won't say it, but I think she's really focused on just getting to jury. And then after jury hits, we'll see something else. That's what I feel like will happen with her.
We'll see. We do get a bit of a primer here on the Tina and Tara relationship, which I thought was good, that this is a very key duo in the house. They really do kind of hold the power in their hands, and they actually have made an alliance with Kiefer called the Pre-90s that intends to play the middle. So Kiefer winning this HOH is going to be very interesting in that regard as we move forward in the game. But in the episode, we're going to get to the vote. And it seems clear to me, based on the speeches that and the votes, that the blind side was not ruined. It didn't seem like...
Yeah. So this is what I wanted to talk about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure it wasn't? Because something about Jed's speech to LaToya, granted, yes, they have to put speeches for both players. I know that. But something about his cadence in the way that he was saying goodbye to Toya felt like he knew that she was going to go.
Oh, no, I think they would have recorded the goodbye message before anything could have possibly happened when the feeds cut.
Yeah, I think so, too, because Beth's was so like, you know, she never thought that was going to see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
See, Beth felt really put on to me as well. Maybe I'm overanalyzing it, but Beth is just extra as it is. So she's kind of like a wild card. So I don't really know what that girl's doing.
Truly, but the way Beth did that, like, oh my God, LaToya, this was never supposed to happen. I'm going crazy in the house for you. Oh my God.
And I can't believe you went. If you went, this is the one they always say. If you're gone, something went really wrong. Well, yeah, girl. It did go wrong.
I think it was genuine. And I think, too, not only how the votes came in, but the way that they voted, Beth, Jed, and Ty, sadly vote to evict Kiefer like they thought that he was leaving, right? You don't say, I sadly vote to evict somebody if you're just kind of like, well, I know this isn't going to work, but I'm voting this way anyway, right?
Okay, so maybe it was more of a... I mean, because we saw a little bit of the feeds this morning, and Ty... gave a hug to LaToya on the stairs talking about, I'm scared. Like, so they knew what something was happening, and the fact that Vic was like, oh, guys, Beth is out here scheming. So it kind of felt like to me, like they were like, because the reaction when she got evicted wasn't that huge either. So it kind of felt like, all right, yeah, they got us.
Well, I think this comes like, they're mentioning in the chat, like when Toya comes out and Arissa says, were you blindsided? She kind of says like, no, I saw this coming. I think they all saw it coming, in the sense that they all talked about the possibility so many times over and over and over, but they always end up landing on, but I guess we're staying. I guess it's good. I think they were prepared to be disappointed, even though they were expecting a different result.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and also it's like LaToya was never going to give like the big surprised reaction to a blind side. Like if you want to get a reaction out of someone, LaToya, she is not the one.
Yeah. And Jed and Ty are not going to blow up on anyone or punch anyone, Kyle.
Yeah, we won't be getting any Erica Hill evictions from those three.
Yeah, no, like they're three of the most, like, I think, were they the three most like even keel people?
Probably.
In the house? I think so. Like, of just like keeping it calm and neutral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair points.
Yes, I did. So the vote is read. And Kyle also, too, was like, I hope Arissa goes. By a vote of 6-3, Kiefer, are safe. He was like, I hope she does it.
Get the hell out of here. Like, I just feel like that was just so unnecessary. Yes, it's like good TV, but do you want like LaToya to be that upset? Like,
I felt like Arissa knew that he wanted that and didn't instead, do it. And instead hit him with the LaToya,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, screw that. As soon as he said that, I was like, I hope she does not give that him that satisfaction, because no, we're not doing all that. Like,
yeah. And they also did not get their goodbye messages on the screen for Kyle and Ro. So good, yes. They don't get the screen time.
And then Toya did the strategic sort of hugging maneuvers where she skipped right over Vic, which was great. And then bounces. This was interesting to me. She bounces over, skips Kyle, Ro, and Austin, and goes straight for bingo ball Brayden.
The Austin one was interesting to me because I didn't think that they had any bad blood, but also at the same time, it's not like Austin has had anything kind to say about LaToya all week. So I was like, good, don't hug her either. Honestly, guys, like, I know there's a lot of people, because I'm sure we're going to turn on the feast tonight and we're going to see all of these people talking about, oh, well, I'm glad I have voted her out, because if that's the way she's going to treat the game, then it's good that she's out of here.
Can't believe she didn't hug me. Oh my God.
Guys, like, if somebody is blindsided and they are upset, it's okay if they don't want to hug you. A couple of months down the line, when this is all said and done, and somebody done won the raggedy 100K, then we can talk about hugs and kisses and all that.
Nobody is entitled to a hug.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, even if she loved all of them, she doesn't have to hug them if she doesn't want to.
Exactly.
Yeah,
COVID is strong. Well, not in that house, but I'm just saying, like, if people don't want to hug nowadays, I'm fine with them not hugging. It is vicious. I wouldn't hug her either.
All right. So Toya comes out, and it felt very clear to me that Arissa was like, damn it.
Yeah.
Didn't want her to go throughout the whole interview. Arissa asks Toya, do you know who the three votes were? And I said this on stream, but I feel like if I was ever evicted from Big Brother, and Arissa or Julie asked me,
why would you be on Big Brother Canada, Taryn?
I'm just, this is wishful thinking in my opinion. This is maybe Arissa someday crosses the border, right? And so if I'm asked, do you know who your votes were? I'm just going to be like, no, don't tell me. Nope. like I've been kidnapped and my kidnapper is like taking their mask off and I'm like, no, don't show me your face. Like what if you change your mind and I can be sent back in? Like, no, just stop. Mm-hmm. Stop. I don't want to know. You know, you can't tell me. You can't make me know.
He's going to be at home. Meanwhile, Taryn got shipped back.
Taryn instantly has Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, watching the episodes with a blindfold.
I'm blindfolding and earmuffing myself on my way to the airport. They're like, you don't have to do this. I'm like, no, you can still change your mind.
Well, that's, I can give a little very depressy BB Can 6 behind the scenes info of when they pulled us around to the other side of the studio before they brought us back in. They did put us in blindfolds and I had like a brief moment of like, wait, is something happening? Oh, and then they were like, no, take your blindfold off. And I was like, no.
So no, like, let me keep the knife. Oh man.
Brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
So of course she successfully guesses what her votes were. I mean, this wasn't a trick question. I don't know why she wouldn't have known. But we then get the goodbye messages. Those are some sad goodbye messages. And we get that Austin is going to give the, I think it was Austin, right? You got flipped on.
Brayden said the flipper has become flipped.
It was funny because like Austin and Kyle and Ro were the ones like really cooking up these goodbye messages, and Brayden is the one that's gonna have the one shown.
And it's what he deserves.
Yeah, Brayden says the flipper got flipped on, and Vic says that she got what she deserved.
Yeah, I like okay, Vic. Like, okay, I mean, I popped up in Taryn's Twitch the other night. And I'm not being mean, just being honest. Not really a big fan of Victoria right now. Not really. I just feel like she's just a little. Her britches are just a little bit too big, just a little too big. And I just need for someone to just shave a little bit off the top. I'm not saying I need her to go. I'm just saying I need for her to come down here just for a second. And I know that she's great TV, so I'm not saying that she needs to go and get evicted. I'm just saying right now, her mouth is a little full of itself, and I wouldn't mind if it were emptied just a little bit. All I'm saying.
Yeah, I think
that's
it's
all I'm saying.
It's just like she gave us a chaotic week and some amazing live feeds, but there's just like a little edge of ugh to what
just,
she did.
Yeah, it's just like a little. It's just like, okay, girl, all right, let's not. Like, it all started when she was like, yes, best player to ever win the game. And I was like, ooh. We're going there.
Truly, okay. Could never hear me ever saying anything of the sort, because you just know that once you give them that material on camera, the second you make a mistake or something happens to you, it's like, remember when Victoria said she's the best player ever? And then it's like, huge flop 3 weeks later. And it's just embarrassing. I could never.
But those are the negatives. But the positives, like I said before, I just want people to know, like, I think that her game is extremely interesting, very dynamic. I think that she still has a big shot to win the entire thing. I really want to know how she's going to handle this week, because she clearly thinks about all different kinds of scenarios. So with Kiefer as HOH, I'm really excited to see what is going to come out of her mouth to him to try and save herself. I am super excited to see what she has cooked up. And if this is the week that she gets humbled a little bit, I will be very satisfied. Very
all
satisfied.
Better for you.
All right. Well, let's talk about this HOH competition then. We're going to see that Kiefer is going to land a 10. Austin is going to land a 10. And they're standing up on that podium together. And I definitely caught them whispering. There was, I don't know what was being whispered, but I think you could probably assume that there's some kind of deal happening, right? Definitely.
Wait, who was this? I'm sorry, I missed it. Who was it?
Austin and Kiefer, when they were on the podium, when they both had 10s, they were certainly whispering a little bit.
Okay. And then even after that, Kiefer goes first, rolls a 9, goes back to the podium, and before Austin leaves, she whispers to him again, heads up to the board, and it was a really weak shot that I initially was like, did she just throw that? I don't know. We'll probably have to wait to find out. But I don't think it's impossible.
See, I missed all of this because I was over here like this. I just was so nervous.
Yeah, I think that there is a very good possibility that that ended up being a throw after some fun deals being made, and we'll see how those deals are held up throughout the next week.
Other people that I felt like Tina threw this for sure.
She throws it across the whole board. Oh my
God. Tina would have thrown that all the way across the Canadian border if she could. Like, she was
so intentionally angled it to the side so that it was impossible to hit a 10. I also felt like Roe might have thrown this, which I think might turn out to be a very bad decision. He had a bad throw. And I think normally I'd be like, well, it's you know, maybe he didn't. But considering the fact that he threw the last week's HOH when he really shouldn't have, I feel like it's possible that he might have thrown this one as well.
Yeah, no, if Ro did not throw that with his little, I think he got a 4, right? Then I'm embarrassed for him. Like, because that was there's enough bars with shuffleboard, and I know we can't have gone to them for the past year, but you don't just lose that ability, you know. So
I know that Victoria hated having to scrape off all of these things, knowing that Kiefer's 10 was still intact.
Literally, to be like, you're the HOH, she's like, I'm the greatest to ever play the game, and now she has to retrieve the shuffleboard.
Yeah,
I was.
She's dying. Like, this is for peasants. Why do I have to do this?
All right. Well, let's talk about what Kiefer might do, because Kiefer is actually one of the more interesting HOHs on the board here. Ty, Jed, and Beth all probably would have done something somewhat similar. The oddballs all would have done something very similar. Kiefer, though, has kind of his own agenda with that is a little bit different than Ty, Jed, and Beth, who all would have gone after Vic. Kiefer was, you know, told by Vic early on that she was not really targeting him. And he has always held a lot of respect for Vic because of her backstory, what she's gone through. He wants to see her succeed in the game. And so he has expressed to Tina and Tara that he does not want to go after Vic. He talked to Vic yesterday. I mentioned it this morning on the update. And he mentioned that he wanted to work with her and that he would not put her on the block. So Vic, again, very, very good outcome for Vic. She should be safe this week, assuming things don't change, but they very well could, considering some of Vic's plans. But let's assume that Vic is off the table for now. I would also assume that Ty, Jed, and Beth are mostly off the table. Now, he is not super pleased with them lately because of, you know, the fact that they very clearly were pulling for Toya to stay and they did just vote him out.
Oh, yeah. And can I just say, literally, how many scenes do we see this week of people in front of Kiefer being like, yeah, too bad Kiefer's going home, like in front of his face, just like, yeah, he's gone. Like, he doesn't count. Like,
yeah. And he's not been happy about that, but he has expressed to Tina and Tara that, well, that means that his loyalty is mostly to them. He is still with the Sunsetters, and part of their plan is to pin both sides of the house against each other. And in order to do that, I think he recognizes that he needs to keep Ty, Beth, and Jed on board with him, and he needs to take a shot at the other side. That's what I would assume, but I don't think you can ever take something for granted when it comes to Kiefer or this entire cast.
I really am hoping that Ty and Jed do not touch that block, because I just, yes, they voted against you, but it was either you or Toya, and you were also telling them that you were like, I will, like, the minute that Victoria won HOH, you were already packing your bags. You were saying to them, look, I will gladly go home. I deserve it. I screwed up big time. I was talking all this crap about Victoria. I'm probably the target. I will go home. So, of course, once you give them permission to go over to LaToya, they're going to take it. Granted, they were probably going to choose LaToya anyway, but still, like, you're not really blameless in the situation. And so if you were to take this opportunity to put one of them on the block, even just one of them, I think it's a huge misstep, because they're not coming after you. They're not, like, and like, why, like, LaToya's gone. Why continue to chip away at your own numbers if they're there to be had? So I hope that he does not get swayed by any kind of shenanigans or chicanery this week. Like, I'll know, be so upset.
I saw people saying earlier today that Kiefer had said that he would put Austin and Brayden up, and I'm wondering what this possible HOH deal has done to save them, which then means Kyle and Roe would be the most likely nominations that we would see.
Because there's no chance that Kiefer will put Tina and Tara up. If he's keeping the Sunsetters out of it, if he's keeping Vic out of it, that only leaves Carb left, right? And not that they're actually using that name. He is the only person in the house that mentioned that he would nominate Austin and Brayden. I actually think that's his best move, to be honest. But
it is, but I don't want to see it. Let me live.
I don't want to see it either. My draft team has been intact for the past 2 weeks. Just trying to keep it that way.
Yes. Well, so this potential deal that might not even be a deal, they might have just been talking for all we know, could end up being very important.
For dinner tonight?
Could end up being very important. If there was a deal made, I could see him just going straight for Kyle and Ro. I could also see perhaps something like Ro and Brayden, if Austin made a deal for herself and didn't think to include Brayden. I think that ultimately the target would probably be Ro. I think that's where Kiefer would probably want to land the target on, regardless of who his initial noms are. But if Ro wins a veto, that could be bad for Kyle. It could be bad for Brayden. I think Austin is probably safe given a potential deal. But if that deal does not exist, I think that she would be in more danger than Brayden, because people tend to like Brayden more. So I would imagine that one of these four people from Carb will be going home this week. That's what I would imagine. But again, never take anything for granted, including the fact that Vic's plan, or the vote flip excuse, is to blame Beth. And she already started to. She also promised earlier today to Ty and Jed that she was going to go off on Beth, that she was going to call some kind of meeting, that she was going to go and call Beth out on all of her lies. And here's the problem that always existed with this plan, but particularly exists with this plan now. Kiefer knows it's a lie. Right? Kiefer was told immediately by Vic that he was not the target and was assured all week long that he was not going home. So to say that Beth caused a last minute flip because she was campaigning to get Toya out is a blatant lie that Kiefer can go to Ty Jed and be like, they're lying. And this may change his mind on how much he likes Victoria. I don't know.
Okay, but Taryn, here's the thing. You are always saying that Big Brother players need to be more active about their lives, more proactive and less reactive. Victoria is giving you what you asked for. I can't see how you could possibly have anything to complain about.
I'm not complaining. I mean, I'll say this. I think I said it with Maggie the other day. But like, I hope people realize that when I'm criticizing a game, especially Vic's game, that's on like a should she be doing that level. That does not mean that I'm not very pleased that she's doing it because she's giving us so much to talk about and to watch.
We give and we give, and finally it's our turn to receive.
Yes.
Look, if the reason why feeds are still down is because she actually did call out Beth and they're currently screaming at each other at the top of their lungs, then I'll be happy. But is it a good plan? No, especially when she can just sit back this week.
No, I would not be happy if the feeds are down because she is yelling at Beth, because I want to watch that happen. And if they keep that from us, I'll be very disappointed.
Yeah. All right.
It keeps going and doing another ad. And then I'm like, oh, are they back? No, it's another ad. Oh, are they? No, it's an ad again. It's all ads.
Yeah, it's attack of the ads. So ultimately, I would say, if I had to guess right now, if I had to narrow down the pool of people, and it's pretty cool that it's such a large pool of people, considering that most of the time it's like, well, these are the nominees, this is the replacement nominee. Like on Thursday, we know exactly what's going to happen. Right now, I feel like it's between five people. It's Kyle Rowe, Austin Braden, outside chance of Vic. And it could theoretically be any one of those people. And it's even somewhat remotely possible that it goes outside of those five people, depending on what happens tonight and through the week. But it's going to be, I think no matter which way this goes, it should be an interesting week because the power is bouncing back and forth right now. Mm-hmm. And the Sunsetters are outnumbered. And they're taking a shot back, and we're going to now see how the oddballs handle being on the bottom, and we'll see what that does to their group and the bonds that bind them. So this should be
crusty carbs are going up, baby. Yeah. I want to see the struggle and the grovel and just all of the begging. I just want it all. I want Ro and Kyle to go at it.
I want to see Ro being the most calm and collected person in the house all week long.
What? Are you kidding me? I'm the most calm, cool, and collected person in this house.
Oh, and his little accent is very strong when he says house.
I mean, I think you're probably right, Kirsten. I think that Ro is probably going to be a little bit more, because that's what he seems to do. I mean, that's kind of what he did this past week. So, I mean, granted, he knew he was going to be safe, but I still feel like he's probably going to try it.
No, I think he is going to do the absolute most. That man has no chance. He's going to pace because that's what he does. He paces. Maybe he'll be pulling people into rooms or getting offended when others are pulled into rooms. The mess. Just the mess.
Just pull yourself into a room, Rohan. That's all you need to do this week. Just spend some time with yourself. Just calm down. I swear you'll be okay.
I just realized we were told exactly what Kiefer is going to try to do in the previous. The announcer told us
to send the Rosho out the dojo.
That's what Kiefer's going to do.
Did he say that? I missed the beginning of the episode, and boy, am I glad that I did, because that is terrible.
That was last night. That was last night.
Well, I'm glad I missed that one, too.
This, you just
send
like
the Rosho out the dojo.
You don't like out
not
the dodo?
The dodo. The dodo.
Kiefer's going to try and send the Rosho out the dodo.
Anyways, I've got a go-go, so...
It needs to go the way of the dodo. That was really bad.
Oh, man. It's yikes. So, it's so good.
The BB Can announcer really is willing to try some stuff. I mean, I know that they do the same thing in the States.
Which one do we think is better?
Well, okay, here's the thing. Rent-free in my mind lives the announcer during BB18 going, the house guest said, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya, to Zakiya. Like, why did you say that? Stop
you also
it.
Can't you also can't be God Virgin King and you know, Beneath the Sheets or whatever it was. Like, I feel like US has a B. Do you ever think the announcer guy, though, like, looks at his script and he's just like, and they send the... Oh, really, guys?
No, I think he's all in it.
No, man. I think he comes in and he gets right up to his mic and he goes, they went to send the Rosho out the dodo. And then he does it like 15 times with different emphasis on it. And then he's like, you know what? I've done a good day's work. And then he goes and
poetry.
It's a good day.
All right. Well, I'm excited. I'm happy with this age. I feel like, you know, there are a few things that are helping this season: the casting, the smaller cast size, the now lack of team twist, and it's all just coming together. And we're also getting great HOH results. I mean, what could be better than a Kiefer HOH right now? Like, how if, Victoria had HOH-itis. Can't wait to see Kiefer definitely get HOH-itis.
Oh, yeah.
Because the way Kiefer acts, just being vulnerable, let alone on the block, he's going to feel so good being HOH. God. This is going to be absolutely beautiful.
He was already emotional. Like, he was crying after he won. So we know, like, this week is about to be... Oh my God, if I were Kyle Rowe, I would be mad. Oh my God.
They're going to be so steaming right now.
Imagine if Kiefer gave them the same energy he gave them after the fight that they had.
Yes.
Where they walk in and they're like, can I just have a minute? No, actually, 0 minutes.
And the other thing too is just think of like, will Kiefer like beak them in the Power of Veto competition, like, because they'll be so salty. Like, I feel like Kyle and Ro, it's so easy to get under their skin. Like, it's like just the littlest thing and they're like,
pull someone into a room while they're sitting on a couch. How could you?
It's just disrespectful. If someone is sitting on a couch, you can't just pull someone into a room in front of them. It's the ultimate disrespect. Come on.
It's no good.
Just ridiculous to think you could pull someone into a room.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
This is going to be so good.
I really hope it delivers. I was like, you know what? Like, and not to like dampen the mood a little bit, but Hero from last season put out a tweet this week saying, guys, is it possible that Big Brother Canada 9 is peaking early? And we're like, no. And then everybody like got in his mentions and said, you shut the hell up right now. That's what I literally said.
I said, you shut up.
I really hope it's not. I want, you know, like I feel like it won't. Like, I feel like there's enough people on either side for things to continue to volley. So I'm just ready for the mess this week. I can't wait to see what Victoria has up her sleeve. And I'm just, I'm ready. I'm so ready.
And it's the thing too, where like, not only does it have the potential to just volley, but this house has the full potential to just be in a completely different alliance structure in 3 days' time. Because mm-hmm. it really is, like, you can say it's oddballs and sunsetters, but really there's so many different pairs that mm-hmm. could configure into completely different ways. Like, we could be watching the episode next Thursday and not talk about sunsetters or oddballs at all, because it could just be a different house. It's totally yeah. possible.
Yeah, Stack in the chat reminded me of Mackie's curse, which made me think about this, and I have a theory. Do we think so? On day three, Josh went to the house and said, "Guys, watch out! Pretty Boys 2.0 is forming." And then collectively, as a house, they said, "No, we reject the Pretty Boys. There will mm-hmm. be no Pretty Boys 2.0." And when they did that, the collective energy broke Mackie's curse that he placed, his plague that he placed on the house because of the Pretty Boys. And now we are living in a plague-free house.
I think we might be onto something, Witch Dr. Taryn.
Witch Dr. Taryn? I can't wait till that Twitter account follows me tomorrow morning.
Oh, God. Wow, you gave him an idea. Damn it. Take it back.
So here's the thing. I think that it could have gone that way, or it could have been that they maybe had the house saged in between seasons, or maybe on move-in day, and they're never allowed to tell us, everybody wore like a cloak, and then they all looked in the mirrors in that bathroom and were like, with the spirit of Big Brother, we rebuke you. With the spirit of Big Brother, we rebuke you. And they chased that plague right out.
Maybe they got Pop and Paul to come in as the villain and chase the Mackie plague out. Yeah. All right. Well, that one really hit, huh?
You know what? It's always a joy when you get a Pop and Paul reference in 2021. You know, like, you don't expect to hear about Pop and Paul. Mm. And then you do. And it's just like, it's like when you poke like Paul, the Pillsbury Doughboy, you just giggle.
Yeah, Pop and Paul's I need to be the villain moment is one of my favorite moments in Big Brother history, I think. I will reference Pop and Paul as the villain for the rest of my days as a Big Brother podcaster.
I think you could take out the Big Brother. The Pop and Paul I need to be the villain could just be one of my favorite moments in history, period.
Yeah.
Who needs what real history? We got Big Brother.
All right. Any final thoughts here on the episode or speculation for the week from you guys?
Oh, I wanted to give one more piece of insight, because everyone was wondering earlier this week what Brayden ordered from Wendy's. And Brayden's Wendy's order is a salad and a baked potato. So that's what he got from Wendy's.
Is that his real order and he had to do a fake order for TV?
Well, I mean, he's a vegetarian. He's been a vegetarian for a long time. And he is a vegetarian out of spite, where he said, "I'm going to be a vegetarian." And his whole family was like, "No, you're not." And he was like, "Oh, now I'm going to do it forever."
It's like, he pulls a Victoria. Actually, I wasn't going to be a vegetarian, but now I'm definitely going to be a vegetarian.
Because I think this was obviously like before I knew him, but I think it was something of like, oh, maybe I'm not going to eat meat for the summer. And then everyone was like, "You can't do that." And he was like, "Well, now I'm going to do it forever."
Yeah. I mean, I want that 4 for 4. If I'm on, that's the one thing about Big Brother Canada that I'm like, damn it. Like, I wish we had that over here, because I'd be snacking on that Wendy's every minute I could. I love me a good Wendy's order. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
But he said Korean barbecue burger come through, because he knows sponsored content. Okay.
There you go. All right, Amon, any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, I think that's it for me. I'm excited. I cannot wait for these feeds to come back. I'm kind of mad that they're not. I was hoping that this podcast would like hold me over, but I guess not. But
we're still waiting. The feeds have not come back up yet. It doesn't seem like they will anytime soon, but who knows. We're still waiting, so we have no information to update you with other than the fact that we obviously know that Kiefer's the HOH. So I'm very glad that we did get the HOH result here, because boy, what would we have had to talk about otherwise? Nothing. Who do you guys think will win?
like, who do you think is the best at shuffleboard?
Yeah, wouldn't have been great. But that's what we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight. This was a lot of fun. Very excited to look at what's going to happen next week. I will be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens tonight on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds, as well as let you know what was happening earlier today. And then that's what we got for the Big Brother stuff. We'll be back on Monday night for the next episode recap. Rob will be there. It'll be great. But you can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I think that we may end up going live after the podcast tonight for a bit. Maybe we'll wait around for the feeds to come back. Who knows? Play some Fall Guys. I think Kirsten might hang and play some Fall Guys with us as well. So that will be very fun. Check me out there, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And then we'll also go live to play some Among Us this weekend, which will be very fun as well. We got a lot of fun playing with the mods.
The new map is out. Yeah. Well, not out, but it's coming out
soon. Yes.
Soon.
You can also find Kirsten on Twitch. Kirsten, what are you doing there?
Okay, so yeah, twitch.tv/Kirsten Sedwa. We've got Among Us, we've got Fall Guys, we've got Family Game Night, we've got tarot cards. It's a variety stream and it's a really great time over there. Also, I am on the Temptation Island wrap up with Maggie Morgan, where we have a great time every week. I have a weekly BoJack Horseman rewatch podcast called BoJack Horse Pod with the great Lindsay Wilson, and talking about Riverdale every week on Caskey Cast with Mary, because I don't love myself enough, I guess. But you can follow me all those places and on all social media at Kirsten Said What.
All right, Amon, what are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter at Amon Adwin. Also on Twitch, reading Harry Potter to lull all of you people to sleep on Mondays and Wednesdays. Also, you know, the usual Fall Guys, Among Us, all that stuff. I've got my podcast with Matt Liguori still up and running. We are going through all of the character analyses for all of the characters. So make sure that you check us out at Choir Room Pod. And of course, the Drag Race podcast is still up and running as well. So check that out as well. And that's it for me.
All right. Well, I will also be back Saturday for some more Circle UK coverage. If you guys are having fun with that, it's been very fun so far. The season 3 has been delivering just as much as the Celebrity Circle for me so far. So excited for that. But that's what we have for you tonight. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And see you all next time.